Carrie Prejean Bowler says she was improperly removed from a Religious Liberties Commission after speaking her conscience on Israel and Gaza. Is this a case of silencing dissent or a commission enforcing its limits? And what does her past controversy when she was Miss California tell us about how America handles unpopular speech? I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is Perspective. The debate over free speech and religious liberty has resurfaced in a dramatic fashion. Carrie Prejean Bowler, now serving on a Religious Liberties Commission, says she was wrongfully removed by the board's chairman, Dan Patrick, who claims she hijacked a hearing for political purposes.
So by not being a Zionist, does that make you an anti-Semite?
I don't think you need to be a Zionist to support a country that defends itself and is free and religious in a hostile neighborhood.
So is anti-Zionism
Hold on,
anti-Semitism?
One second, Carrie.
Yes.
It is?
It is?
Sorry.
Yes.
To take that point for a second.
Let me back up. I didn't want to step over that answer. I didn't know you were still, both of you, still talking. So
just to be clear, is anti-Zionism anti-Semitism?
Yes.
Now, Prejean Bowler disputes that authority. She argues that only Donald Trump can remove her. The flashpoint reportedly involved comments about Israel, Gaza, and the intersection of U.S. foreign policy and religious liberty. But this is not Carrie's first experience at the center of a speech controversy. In 2009, during the Miss USA pageant, she was asked a question about same-sex marriage by blogger Perez Hilton. Her answer ignited a national conversation and firestorm.
In my country and in my family, I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman.
And immediately after he asked me the question, I started talking and I said, should I be politically correct or should I follow my heart and follow what's right to myself and my beliefs? And I said, you know what? I'm laying it out on the table. This is who I am and this is what I believe, and I'm going to stand by what I believe.
I absolutely remember the moment that that happened and the shockwaves that it sent through conservative circles, but also society. So tonight, we're actually going to examine the through line. So from pageant stage to federal advisory board, is Carrie Prejean Bowler being punished for expressing unpopular convictions once again? Or are there limits when serving in public roles? Well, Carrie Prejean Bowler joins us tonight, and joining her is friend of the show, Tim Gordon, who is also a very popular Catholic podcaster focused on faith, politics, and moral theology. Thank you both for joining me on this.
Thanks for having me.
Carrie, it's an absolute honor to have you. I remember when that incident happened and watching, and I did not recognize until that point, I felt like we were not allowed to ever have anything other than politically correct statements being made on a pageant stage, much less any stage on broadcast TV. So you shattered glass ceilings that day, and I feel like you're doing this again in the media. So I want to begin with this immediate controversy. Did Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick have the authority, do you feel like, to remove you from the Religious Liberties Commission?
No, he has zero authority. I know he probably wants to be president, but he's not the president, and under this executive order that was established by Donald J. Trump, our president of the United States, only the president has the authority to remove me.
Well, now, you've said your comments were about Israel and Gaza were actually grounded in conscience and Catholic teachings, your beliefs. What specifically did you say that you believe triggered this reaction from not only Lieutenant Governor, but from across the country right now in this debate?
Well, the topic of Zionism kept being brought up. You know, they mentioned Israel over 17 times. Israel actually were the ones that hijacked this hearing. Zionist extremists were the ones that hijacked this hearing. I wanted to talk about Jewish Americans who are facing real anti-Semitism here in America. And for some reason, they wanted to hijack it and talk about a foreign country that I've never been to and I have no desire to go to. So those are the real hijackers of this hearing. But they had mentioned Israel over and over again, and I was just so sick of it. And so I realized that they are associating anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism, and they finally admitted it. And so the logical conclusion of that is, well, if I'm not a Zionist, if I'm an anti-Zionist, if I don't embrace Zionism as a biblical prophecy fulfillment, which I completely reject as a Catholic, then their claim is that I'm a hateful bigot, and I reject that. And that should have been the story. Catholics from across this country are furious that a Catholic woman on this Religious Liberty Commission was denied her own religious liberty to serve and represent Catholics who are not Zionists, who do not embrace Zionism as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And that really should be the headline.
Tim, I know you're biting to get in here, but I got to ask one more question to you, Carrie. Were you surprised by the reaction? What set the stage, the environment? Had there been this debate behind the scenes and conversations in the hallways, or did this just completely come out of surprise to you that they were not necessarily going to go along with what you were saying?
No, I have the receipts to prove it. They've been trying to get me off this commission from the very beginning. Paula White and Dan Patrick have been trying to sideline me and remove me. I got a call back in August from the White House asking me for my resignation. Shortly after I was told that I wasn't allowed to post about Zionism, I wasn't allowed to post about Gaza, I wasn't allowed to criticize Israel. So this has been going on quite some time, but I was committed to the American people to stand for religious freedom, and so I remained on this commission. I kept that knowledge in my back pocket. So leading up to this hearing, they have been relentless in their witch hunt to try to get me, the only outspoken, anti-Zionist, off this commission. And so that hearing that day, they tried to succeed, but I still am on this commission until the president removes me himself.
Which is real interesting, because President Trump himself has not come out either way from that. I think he's trying to handle the situation as diplomatically as possible, and yet you're finding it to be the Christian ring, the religious ring, is the one that's actually going to the extremists and making sure that people stay in line. Tim, I am going to bring you in on this, because what is the Catholic teaching regarding criticism of a foreign government on humanitarian grounds? Is there any standard?
Well, the standard is that biblical Israel is the church. And I would have to go back and amend one thing from the beginning of the show. What Carrie expressed a couple weeks ago is not an unpopular cultural or religious cause in the United States. 91% of those under 50 disfavor the theology that stands for the proposition of Zionism. So this is a generational issue. It seems most people over 50 or 55, left, right, and center, got hornswoggled into this support for this other country, this foreign country. And everybody, almost everybody, more than 9 out of 10 under 50, disfavor the theology that supports that supposition. I would also say that the church's theology would always favor itself, meaning it's strange that Kerry was accused of hijacking a religious liberty hearing by contraindicating the primary contemporary breach of popular religious liberty in America, which is supremacist Jewish claims, Zionism, against Christianity. And like I say, it's not only wrong, but it's also unpopular. So it's a bit different. Kerry was right in 2009, but it might have been unpopular then. That Vox Populi is definitely with her, and so is the church, precisely as she said it was.
Well, and that's, I think, the discussion. I'm going to go a little bit off from what the script even says at this moment. That is a conversation that it continues to boggles my mind. I had this conversation in my Southern Baptist church group this past weekend about it going, why does it feel like that they have just been taken over by this one ideology? And it is said, if you don't go along with it, that you're automatically anti-Semitic. Why can I not criticize what is the actions of the Israeli government and not be labeled as racist or anti-Semitic? I can criticize the American government. That doesn't make me any less patriotic. It makes me even more patriotic. I feel like that's my job as a citizen. So, Carrie, why is the religious right so overwhelmed? Do you think it's actually a genuine, they believe it? Or do you think that maybe they're being bought off because there's now there's millions of dollars going into the various religious denominations within the United States right now by the Israeli lobbyists, by their firms, by AIPAC? Is this more about money, or do they genuinely believe what they are trying to say they're protecting?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think it's money. I think it's our government, our politicians are bought and paid for. And then the other thing is Christianity has been subverted. For 2,000 years, I was raised Protestant. I am now a proud Catholic. I know what the churches have been feeding me for my entire life. They've been waving the Israeli flag, claiming that this modern nation is biblical Israel. And I reject that. I completely reject it. And Catholics for 2,000 years have rejected it. So Christianity has been hijacked and subverted, and it's time we as Christians, the true Christians, take it back, because we're seeing the consequences that it has. And not only is it destroying our country, but it is literally destroying lives. Look what we've seen in Gaza. This heretical teaching is literally excusing and justifying the murder of innocent human life. And it's getting Christians to cheer it on and to applaud it and to fundraise for it. This is a hijacking of Christianity, and it's time we take it back.
I look at history, Tim, and I go, when have you ever seen one religion literally go above and beyond the religion they're defending to defend them than the religion themselves are defending? I mean, you see Christianity and divisions of the different denominations defending the currency. And once again, I want to separate the faith from the government. They're two separate things, and I know that's hard to do. But, Tim, why do you feel like, what do you think is happening right now? Why are you seeing and what is the danger of Christianity defending another religion over itself when it comes to persecution that we're facing right now within this own country? We're facing persecution, and I don't see another religion coming to our defense.
Of course. Everything since 1948, as Carrie's indicating there, smells strongly like an op, because when we say America first, we're supposed to mean America first. When we say Christianity first, we're supposed to mean it. Everyone saw this in the commentary and news cycle earlier this week with Tucker Carlson interviewing poor Ted Cruz. He asked simply, how can Old Testament Israel
Mike Huckabee. You mean Mike Huckabee when he was with the ambassadors?
They're one and the same. Yeah, we saw Ted Cruz last week.
Right.
We saw Ted Cruz last week with Tucker. That's when I saw it. Right. And Mike Huckabee earlier this week. And he asked them each the same question, which is, there in 1948, we had an equivocally named radical secular left new nation brought to bear, created by the Five Eyes, whatever you want to call it. And they created it ex nihilo in 1948. How is this supposed to stand for biblical propositions with the same name, Israel, from 2.5 millennia earlier? It's insane. I'll make an argument by analogy. If the mostly secular and some religious Jews were represented by the title Jesus, if they'd called that 1948 strong secular left nation, the leading leftist nation in the world, today known as Israel, if they'd called it Jesus, you could call a new nation anything you want. We Christians also don't have to worship that, right? You can call anything you want. And I was canceled, and you guys covered my story in 2020 for refusing to bow to Black Lives Matter. Everyone was genuflecting in June of 2020 to that. You can call something Don't Kill Kittens and make it an evil organization, and in the name of that cute title, do a lot of great evil. And that's all they did in 1948 with Balfour and with the preparatory years up to Balfour. Let's call it Israel. That's an equivocal term. That doesn't mean it's the real Israel that Christians believe in the Bible, which indicates the church, Jesus's church.
When we return, does criticizing the Israeli government risk crossing into anti-Semitism? And where are the limits of speech for someone serving in a government advisory role? Stay with us. Welcome back. We're discussing faith, free speech in the United States and Israel policy with Carrie Prejean Bowler and popular Catholic commentator and podcaster Tim Gordon. Let's continue. You know, in the break, we were chatting about the various people who were on this panel. Now, you're not the only Catholic who was actually on the panel, but you were the only one who was present today. But more importantly, because there's some pretty well-known Catholic names on there, you had someone sitting next to you whose job was defending people's freedom of speech, Carrie, that was his whole role, the reason why he was on there, because he had made a name for himself. But yet he did not speak up for you. Do you think that your attempted removal and all of the storm that has been created by those with not only on this commission, but also in the media, is trying to also send this message to Christians who express concerns about Israel's military action in Gaza that you will not be defended and you will face the same wrath from the religious community?
Yeah, I mean, not many people know this, but they tried to do an intervention meeting with me prior to the hearing at like 7:20 in the morning. Dan Patrick, Paula White, and Ben Carson was in that meeting. And they were like, what are you going to say today, Carrie? I mean, were really nervous. What are you going to say? And I said, well, is this a religious liberty commission or is this a Zionist commission? Because you guys keep wanting to talk about a foreign nation. And I just want to talk about anti-Semitism here in America. And you guys keep wanting to talk about Bibi Netanyahu and those who bless him will be blessed. So it's all fake and gay, to be honest with you. They don't care about religious freedom. They just care about Zionist supremacy. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's kind of how I feel.
And once again, I have to reiterate this. This is not an attack on the Jewish faith and people of Jewish faith. I was raised a Jew. My mother's one of the founding mothers that created the partnership. But I think we have so many questions right now. There is a difference between criticizing your government and criticizing the faith. And you have to have that clear distinction. And I find it very funny, Carrie, you're on a committee that talks about religious freedom and your own freedom to discuss your points are being ignored. What does this go to the future when you look at this, when you try to figure out what exactly is going to happen next? You know, when you're looking at this, Tim, does this not kind of scare you of what happens next?
No, quite the opposite. I would say it's a white pill. What happened when I saw this news popping off with Carrie at the center of a firestorm again, I thought this is excellent, actually, because make no mistake, religions are all mutually exclusive propositions. And we're not here to criticize Judaism here today, but we three are Christians. You know, Carrie and I are Roman Catholics. And Judaism is expressly anti-Christian insofar as they believe the Talmudic proposition that Jesus is boiling in excrement in hell. Now, they're not trying to be rude, I guess. Nor are we trying to be rude when we say, look, the Jewish faith is a faith that expressly had the faith in the Old Testament period and then fumbled it. So that's not mean of Jews to Christians or Christians to Jews. It just affirms the idea that religion is not all the same, the way that Lulbertarian time in the 1990s, stoners and idiots popularized the view that all religions are the same. They're not. They're mutually exclusive. And America, being a Christian country, we're not saying the government's Christian, but it's a Christian country. Same as Israel, the government's not Jewish, but it's a Jewish country. You know, we have propositions that are not come one, come all, even if we say over our borders, you know, we've mistakenly said come one, come all. So the idea is that it's refreshing to return to a time period when we can acknowledge that we have differences and those differences aren't personal, but they are religious and they do mean something.
And I agree with you that it's a generational thing. I think the younger generation is more open to that conversation. Carrie, you mentioned that you were born Protestant, you were raised Protestant, but now you've converted to Catholicism. Do you feel like any different, that you're treated any different in America? Do you believe that Catholics, you know, there was a time period where we never thought that we'd have a Catholic president, and obviously JFK was elected into office. The Catholics were highly persecuted within the United States. Do you feel like this is an attack on you, or do you feel like even if you were a Protestant that you would be facing the same wrath for this belief?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was told by Paula White that I wasn't allowed to hold firm to replacement theology, which she has no idea. That's actually a dig, and it's fulfillment theology. That's what we hold firm to, that the old covenant has been fulfilled in the new through Christ. The old has passed away, and now we are in that new covenant, and Jews and Gentiles are all welcomed into that new covenant. So, I think that this is a very anti-Catholic attack on me. I think the Protestants are very upset that I converted to Catholicism, because I was on fire for the Lord as a Protestant. Imagine how more on fire I am now that I have the fullness of the faith as a devout Catholic. I think that this is very anti-Catholic, and I want to send a clear message to J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, and Ron DeSantis. If you guys think that you're just going to be ushered in as the new president without coming out and taking a stand for this Catholic woman, myself, who has been removed from a religious liberty commission due to my religious beliefs, you have a rude awakening coming to you, because I don't think Catholics are very happy with you guys right now. You guys are acting like cowards. Well, so I would encourage you to have a spine and stand up for a Catholic woman being removed.
And once again, it's the younger generation. And you mentioned three people who would like to be the presidential nominee in 2028. They're not going to go well if they keep the same track record as Paula White. They are definitely not going to get the younger generation of voters, because they are paying attention. This is a very serious issue to them, because they feel like if they can attack Carrie Jean, a beautiful, smart, intelligent, like you said, mom from California, then nobody's safe in their practice on that side of it. But you know, I have to also look at this, you know, Tim, and I look at it from a political standpoint. We can take the religious side of it, off of it. From a religious, from a political standpoint, do you feel like that this conversation is going to be able to be conducted in D.C. in the present state, knowing the power that AIPAC has over the United States Congress? And where does Trump play into this? Because it's interesting to watch him. I'll say, yes, you know, I've had to defend him several times because of his son and his family is Jewish. He seems to be actually very much more orthodox, just like his wife is. So he's kind of stuck in a middle position on this.
Look, boomers need to be well aware. If they don't get it in the 26 midterm elections, they're sure as shooting going to get it in the 28 general elections, that their time has come. The sun has set on Zionism and this religion of worshiping either secularism or, you know, the new consensus after World War II, let's just call it that, a kind of secular Judaism. That's come and gone. And now the political reality, leave the religion aside the way you want to, is simply this. Young people do not support Israel, and they don't support either the secular or the religious Judaism that propagates this faith in Israel, this global faith that boomers have had and normalized. And even someone like President Trump, who's married to a Catholic, he surrounded himself with Zionists in 16 and in 2020. I for one, was actually removed from his steering committee, Catholics for Trump, in 2020 by Jared Kushner himself. And he cited that I was an anti-Semite. You wanted to talk about what that term means. Let's do it. Let's do it with the bully pulpit. Let's do it in the public forum. They're going to have to confront eventually, particularly with the under 50 crowd, that young people are not afraid of these neologisms, these made-up terms that are intended to keep people from having intelligent discourse. Should we be asking, is it anti-Semitic to blank? Or should we be asking, does it even matter if we're anti-Semitic? If it means that we aren't Zionists, if that's what the true essence of anti-Semitism is, then it's fine. I guess I'm an anti-Semite. That's what the crowd under 50, 55 is saying. If it means, do I hate this guy and want to pollute his lake, as Michael Scott says, no, or hate him, want to kill him, no, of course not. But this person is foreign to the political mainstream. Even Protestants, by the way, the mainline Protestants have a replacement theology. It's not only Catholics and Orthodox. It's mainline Protestants. It's just the evangelicals that have this wacky, basically Jewish eschatology. And the political reality is that boomers, their time has come. And they're not only being ushered out of political relevance, but the rest of the country, which is coming into its voice, you know, 20-year-olds who are just in college are deeply, deeply anti-support for Israel. Let's put it that way. Left, right, and center, right, they're deeply anti-Israel.
And what a change has become. I remember 30 years ago I went to a Presbyterian school, and my mother just wanted to expose our class to the Jewish faith, just as like you would study another subject, another faith. And she was majorly pushed back. How dare you even mention the word Passover? How dare you? And now to see this complete 180 to where it's literally being taught as a class, just like history, math, science, Jewish studies is now becoming a class, even in these private schools, these private Christian schools, because they consider it to be the foundation to which Christianity is built on. That's all ideological. But Carrie, you mentioned that you were a mom, and I will tell you the one thing that opened my eyes up was the fact of the combat, the military aspect. I don't think Americans have the stomach to put boots on the ground to go to try to defend a country that, if you are a Christian and you have studied your Bible, we know how this ends. We know that this goes on for 66 chapters of the Bible, of that if there's fighting and it will not end well for our sons and daughters, and we don't want to put them in that risk. How much do you think that your message appeals to other mothers in opening their eyes to what they're hearing differently from the Baptist pastor on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, I think Protestantism is actually dying. I think it's people are leaving the Protestant churches. They're recognizing that this heretical teaching that they push, this worship of a foreign country as some sort of biblical fulfillment, it's it's built on sand. And so that's why they're flooding to the Catholic churches, Orthodox churches, because they're wanting something built on actual history and truth. And so, yeah, I'm getting messages from mothers all across the nation saying, you go, girl. Thank you so much for standing up for us. And you would be surprised at how many messages I've gotten saying, for the first time in, you know, 20 years, I'm finally going back to the Catholic Church. So thanks be to God for that.
Well, I want to thank you, Carrie Prejean Bowler. I know it's not been an easy road you walked, and you didn't have to walk it, but you've chosen to do so. And that will be a part of your legacy. Timothy Gordon, always great to talk to you. I'm sure we will talk again in the future. Continue the fight. And like I said, with every one person you win, went over and they are able to open their eyes, I think that's a win for America. And that truly is putting America first. Thanks for joining us. Well, today's conversation has faced two different types of arguments. Carrie Prejean Bowler has been in two different public arenas, a beauty pageant stage and a federal advisory board. Now, in both cases, controversy followed a statement of conviction. Now, the deeper question is not whether one agrees with her. It's whether religious liberty and free speech protection extends to speech that challenges powerful institutions, including foreign allies. The war in Gaza has a very complicated moral terrain. The U.S.-Israel relationship, well, it remains strategically significant. And the boundaries between criticism and prejudice must be handled with precision, fairness, and care. But if America is to remain committed to liberty, dissent cannot automatically be equated with disqualification. So whether this moment becomes a footnote or a flashpoint will all depend on how leaders respond and how Americans interpret the balance between conviction and consequences. Thank you for watching Perspective. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. See you next time.